Hello?
It's me. I'm back. The recording has started now.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, is this Kathleen?
Yep.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Amy's on as well.
Oh, good, okay. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Oh. That's a dog. I'm going to start six as soon as we get the show on the
I know.
road.
Well, that's what I said to my husband. I said, if the dog starts barking, I'm going upstairs.
Oh, geez. No, it only happens when we have something.
No. I know.
Hold on.
You know what helps, Kathleen?
What?
A headset.
Yeah. I don't have a headset anymore.
It blocks it all out. I know.
Is that right?
You never get to work from home. Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
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 Hi. This
Hello.
Is.
This is the teleconference. Who is this?
This is me.
Oh, Milam, and my husband David is also here.
Oh, can barely hear you.
Hey, okay. Well, you're on speaker.
Well, good. That's probably why we're having a hard time. So we don't need to hear you. You just need to hear speakers.
And who am I speaking with?
Are we supposed to introduce ourselves?
Well, we just...
I have an Amy, a Tracy, and a Kathleen, possibly.
I'm
That's
Diane.
Correct.
That's
I'm
correct.
Diane.
Hi, what? Diane.
Hi.
Is Marcia on the line?
Marcia's on the line, yes.
Okay. So, Marcia, will you do introductions, or Jamie, or...
I will do introductions.
Okay.
So, first, I'm going to do some housekeeping items.
Okay.
The first thing we all got instructed when we hopped on is if you're going to be noisy like I am in the background,
yeah.
Please star six to mute. And so if you're going to ask a question, you need to pound six to unmute. The next thing is that we ask, we only have an hour, and we're asking that everyone keep their questions general. Don't get into insurance-specific questions. We just don't have time to talk about each person's insurance. And the GTS people for your region would be more than happy to answer your questions. And you're encouraged to call the Genzyme Treatment Support. And that number is 1-800-745, and I lost it, 4447, and you press option 3. And that's basically it. Jamie, would you talk about, if they have questions that we just can't address at this, how we're going to handle those?
Sure. So welcome to everyone on the call. I work in Genzyme's Patient Advocacy Group, and as you know, the purpose of this call is to help provide some information about Genzyme treatment support and general reimbursement questions. And I'm sure that everyone has other questions about, you know, Pompe and Myozyme. But for the purpose of this call, the folks that we have in attendance are part of our Genzyme treatment support team. So if you have questions specifically about Myozyme that are unrelated to reimbursement or insurance, you know, certainly we want to be able to respond to those questions, but would ask that maybe you not raise them in this particular forum, and you can certainly, you know, contact either myself or, if you're more comfortable, you know, let Marcia know what other outstanding questions you have, and then we can figure out the best way to address those. Maybe it's another teleconference, or maybe it's just, you know, directing you to the appropriate person within Genzyme.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me quick introduce everyone so they can get into the meat of the conference. First, we had Jamie that you just heard, and she is the Associate Manager of the Patient Advocacy at Genzyme. Jamie has a background in case management and has a master's degree in public health from Boston University. She has also worked with several patient populations prior to working at Genzyme, and this includes the ALS, multiple sclerosis, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Welcome, Jamie. And the next we have is Kathleen Coolidge. She has a master's degree in social work from the University of Washington in Seattle. Prior to working at Genzyme, she worked as a hospital social worker for 11 years at New England Medical Center in Boston in pediatrics. She is currently the GTS area manager for the East. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you very much.
And the next is Amy Neach. She has her master's degree in social work from Loyola University in Chicago, Illinois. She is currently a remote case manager and has been with Genzyme as a case management specialist for 6 years. Prior to working at Genzyme, she worked as a supervisor at Catholic Charities in Chicago, Illinois, with children in foster care and their families. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you.
And the last is Tracy Montminy. She is a registered nurse with a BSN from Salem State College in Salem, Massachusetts. Prior to joining Genzyme, she worked for a primary care practice and was also a staff nurse at the North Shore Medical Center in Salem in orthopedics and neurology. Tracy has been with Genzyme for the past 8 years and is currently in the Genzyme Treatment Support Area Manager for the West. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you.
And I'm going to turn the floor over to you all.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. One last thing. I'm going to cut in 5 minutes before 8 o'clock to give you all a heads up to let you know where you stand on time, and you can decide whether we're at a good stopping point or if you needed to go on for a few more minutes. Okay?
Marcia, could you give us a general sense of how many people are on the phone?
Boy, I think probably around 20. It was my sense of the people coming on.
Okay. All right. Couldn't tell if there were like 2 or 100. Couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. This is Amy Neat, and it's a pleasure to be talking to you tonight. I was honored when they asked me to talk because I really love what I do, and I love working with the patients and helping them through this system, which I'm going to talk about. I was asked basically to talk about Genzyme Treatment Support, and you'll hear it called GTS. And just to give you a little bit of background of who we are, what we do, and what we can do to help you out. Basically, when we launched our first product, when Genzyme launched its first product, the CEO recognized that there was going to be a need to help patients get access to the treatment. Because of the rareness of the diseases and because of the high cost, high dollar amount of the products and of the treatment itself, so a group of, there was 5 at the beginning, about 15 years ago, and now there are 35 of us. And we are all nurses, social workers, or healthcare advocates with extensive background in the field, and we specialize by region. So, for example, I cover some of the Midwestern states. I cover Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana. And we are sort of experts in those states, and we monitor legislation and really know what the resources are for insurance and reimbursement, as well as patient advocacy resources in our specific areas. We really pride ourselves on being a patient advocate and first and foremost, and we're here to really help you understand your health insurance benefits, the limitations and guidelines. Can be very confusing. I'm sure as many of you may have experienced, sometimes you can spend hours on the phone with an insurance company and still not have answers to your questions. So we're there to really help you navigate through that vast sea and try to get the answers you need about your benefits. And, you know, each person has unique benefits. You may have Blue Cross Blue Shield and your neighbor may have it as well, but you could have 2 totally different policies, and it's really dictated by the group, usually an employer group or, you know, sometimes another type of a group that you have the insurance. They're the ones who negotiate with your insurance company and figure out what kind of benefits they want their employees to have. So we start by, you know, you call into Genzyme, and Marcia gave you that number, and I'll give it again. It's 800-745-4447. And you would call in and be routed to a person like myself, except someone, whoever would cover your particular state. We would do an intake process and basically just ask you questions and get your benefit information. You may have many more questions than just the insurance, and we try to help route you in the right direction. And everything is confidential. We do obtain your authorization before we would make any calls on your behalf, and we do that with a written consent form, and we can either fax it or FedEx it to you with a return envelope. And once we get that back, what we would do is verify your health insurance benefits and find out specifically what your benefits are. And we would also ask if the enzyme replacement therapy, in this case with Myozyme, is covered, and if it's covered, how it's covered. And a lot of times, especially with the newly FDA-approved drug, it will need prior authorization. So we facilitate that whole process. by getting the medical information from your physician, getting it to your insurance company, and then making sure we follow through until there is a decision made. We're also educating a lot to the insurance companies, the case managers, because a lot of times they haven't ever heard of this, especially, it's very rare. It's a new product, and so we're providing, whatever FDA-approved material we have to give to them by, providing literature and also talking to them. If you don't have insurance, which we run across a lot of times, we help you identify and explore alternative insurance options. And, again, since we're familiar with the state, we know what other options are available. And, a lot of people have concerns about their out-of-pocket expenses and, how am I going to pay for this and what's this going to cost. And if that is an issue, we can hook you up with resources that can assist. You'd have to apply, but, if you qualify based on financials in your application, then they can assist you with some of your out-of-pocket or all of your out-of-pocket expenses. So that's not a barrier to your treatment. We're doing a lot of educating. A lot of times people will call in, and especially if they're living in rural areas, and they just don't know who to go see. I got a call the other day from a father. His friend had watched the Good Morning America show and thought maybe his daughter had Pompe disease. So he called in and, asked me who he should see. So, he lived in Ohio, so I referred him to the geneticist that works at Children's Hospital Medical Center in Ohio that treats other Pompe patients. So, we don't know if that person will end up having Pompe, but at least we referred him to the right place. We work collaboratively internally we have a clinical science associates and patient care liaisons, and they also have extensive knowledge and expertise and experience in the healthcare professional. Our patient care liaisons, a lot of them are nurses or genetic counselors, and they're actually out there in the field educating nurses, genetics counselors, physicians on our products, on the disease, and how to mix and administer the drug, especially if it's a place where they've never seen this before, never treated it before, or someone may have an HMO policy where they're restricted and can only go in-network to an in-network provider. And in that case, it's really important that we have someone that can go out, meet with them face-to-face, and educate them on the disease, on the product, and on the treatment. And basically, everything is confidential. I want to reiterate that point just so, you're all aware of that. And I think, the main message that we wanted to bring home, that I would like for everyone to bring home, is that to call us. By calling us, you're not signing up to start treatment or anything. We're here as a resource for you. It's a totally voluntary program, so you're no obligation to do anything, but it's just, we can help answer a lot of your questions and help, steer you in the right direction and guide you. And for as many questions as you have, as many times as you need to call, we're there. And, I recently had a family say to me, we got everything set up and their daughter starting treatment, and then they said, well, now what? They thought that was ending, that I would no longer be their case manager. And I said, no, I will be with you for the life of the treatment and we do. We follow a case. A lot of times in 6 months or a year, your insurance company will want to see medical documentation and make sure that you still need the treatment. So we help facilitate that and make sure that recertification is obtained so that you can continue with your treatment. If you change jobs or you have a marital status change or change in dependency, Medicare eligibility, those are all life-changing events that could affect your coverage. And if you do have an insurance change, that starts over from square one. And a lot of times you might still have the same job, but your employer changes insurance every year. Well, that could change, we could have to start all over again with the authorization process. So we ask that you call us whenever you know or anticipate of a change, and so we can help you. We also help. A lot of times people will travel or go on vacations and, you know, they don't want to miss the treatment. So we can help. Since we have resources across the country, we can help facilitate that so you wouldn't have to miss a treatment. And, you know, one other thing that I always reiterate whenever I give these talks is just to avoid a lapse in coverage. And, you know, there's COBRA as an option, and a lot of times people shy away from that because it's so expensive. But again, we know of resources that you can apply to that may help with those premium costs. Because if you have a diagnosis of Pompe disease, if you allow yourself to have a lapse of coverage of more than 63 days, then when you go on to get a new plan, you could have to wait out a pre-existing waiting period where they would not cover anything Pompe disease related for any period of time. Sometimes it's 6 months or a year. So we can really help in that situation and tell you some resources that are available so that you can avoid that lapse in coverage and not have to be subject to a pre-existing waiting period. So basically, I mean, that is who we are and what we do and what we can do for you. I again reiterate that you always call us when in doubt. I use this as a resource. And there's a couple other, Kathleen Coolidge and Tracy Montminy are also on the phone, and we all work together in Genzyme Treatment Support. We've all been there for a while. And, you know, we've worked with similar treatments. This is a new disease as far as, you know, we just had FDA approval, but we've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, we really know how to kind of navigate through that system. And, you know, most people feel it's a valuable resource. So, do you have anything else to add, Kathleen?
Well, the only thing I would add is that a lot of patients that we've talked to so far have Medicare as their primary insurance. And so a lot of times people wonder whether or not Medicare will pay for Myozyme. And we work with Medicare and their fiscal intermediary, and lots and lots of patients with Medicare are on treatment right now. It's not as straightforward as some of the commercial payers, but we just take that as another insurance to work with and move forward. But right. We'd love to hear your questions. I don't know if that would be the next step, Marcia, or not, but...
Let me ask. I have to unmute.
Sorry.
I think that would be I'm sure there's a ton of questions out there. Hello? Any questions?
This is Jamie. I'll pose a question, even though I'm here at Genzyme. But, Amy, can you just expand a little bit on, I know it's hard to talk about timelines because everyone's situation is different, but can you just give a little bit of, shed some light for people on the call about potentially how long it could take someone to, you know, find out what their coverage is and move forward with treatment?
Sure. Yes. Usually, you know, once we get your consent back, we'll usually verify the benefits, you know, within 24 hours. And if prior authorization is needed, it all depends. I mean, it depends on how long it would take us to get the information back from your physician. But again, we're working hard to get that information as soon as possible and then get it to your insurance company. Once it's at your insurance company, typically, I mean, lately, I've seen actually a quicker turnaround than I have in years past, but anywhere from, you know, 15 to sometimes 45 days. But again, you know, we're calling. I mean, I know myself for sure is calling, you know, daily, trying to find out a status, you know, an update. Because a lot of times too, your insurance company will send you a letter. And, you know, the mail could take a week sometimes. So, you know, we call and really try to follow up. And we try to get the cases into case management right away with the insurance company because that seems to facilitate things along as well. And, I mean, in all honesty, too, a lot of the codes that are used for these infusions, you know, you'll call some of the major carriers, you know, like an Anthem, Blue Cross Blue Shield, or Humana, and they say, well, it doesn't need prior authorization, but you can submit a predetermination, which basically means you can submit medical information, and then they will do a review and then let you know for sure whether or not it's going to get paid. And most people, because of the cost and the high dollar amount, you know, want to go that route because they want to have peace of mind. And or even if prior authorization is not needed, we still get the, it's called a statement of medical necessity from the physician, and we have it submitted with those first claims that go through, just so once they go through and they're looking at it, they have proof of the medical necessity right there with them instead of them having to come back and ask for it and having those claims pending. So even, you know, we always go with the worst case scenario that it's going to need it, and so we obtain, you know, all the medical information that's needed. So, I mean, to answer your question, it is very individual, but, you know, it's about 15 to 30 days, I would say, on average.
I have a question.
Okay.
My name is Sharon, and I'm calling from Oregon.
Hi.
So you have a mixture of adults and in Myozyme, and I was wondering what you're finding with the adults with private insurance in the U.S. Are they generally getting a positive response from their insurers, or are you having a percentage of the insurance companies saying, hey, we can't cover this until there is a positive outcome from the current research studies?
Right. I know of at least one denial. I think it was in Colorado. But my personal experience, it's been getting approved for the adults. Do you know of any other denials?
No, that's only the only one that I know of. And there are, I don't know how many patients on treatment so far, but I'm thinking something like 40 to 50 patients on treatment so far.
And you bring up a good point, because if there is a denial, we work with you and your, you know, and your providers to try to appeal it, work through it, you know, work until the very end and getting that hopefully, you know, appealed, especially just by providing them with as much documentation, medical documentation, as they're asking for.
But that's a very good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
Is the 40 to 50 patients in treatment all adult late onset, or does that include infantile?
It includes infantile. So it's a mixture.
Yeah. So, okay. Thank you.
So I just wanted to add one other thing, Amy, which is that a lot, we've worked, as Amy said, with Cerezyme and Fabrazyme and Aldurazyme. These are all IV infusion therapies for other diseases. And so now we're just getting involved with Myozyme. But when we've worked with these patients before, an awful lot of them had absolutely no idea about their insurance. They had never really dealt with their insurance. They didn't know if they had an HMO or a PPO or what they had. So just to understand what their insurance is and the level of coverage and how IV infusion therapies are covered, whether it's under a pharmacy benefit or under a medical benefit or where it's covered, and the level of coverage is usually a very informative process for people, whether or not they ultimately go on treatment or not, just to know sort of where they are in their insurance. Because when people get insurance, typically they just sign up for something, but they don't really, really know what they're signing up for. So that's been our experience with the other products so far, is that we're able to explain what their insurance is to them in a way that actually makes sense versus, you know, just a document from the insurance company.
Right, and if you do, you know, a lot of people are concerned, especially if they do have a lifetime maximum, or sometimes, you know, what we've seen a lot lately are annual maximums where your insurance will only pay a certain dollar amount per year. And that's another thing that we work closely with you, your insurance company, and your insurance company with to, you know, work through those issues depending on what they are. It's totally specific to your benefits, and, you know, things could change where you might change policies and that lifetime maximum is extended, or sometimes it gets lowered. And, you know, those are all things that we watch closely and we monitor, you know, every 6 months or so if someone does have a lifetime maximum, where we try to find out where they're at towards it and plan with that patient and, you know, the insurance company on a plan of what's going to happen if they do exhaust it. So those are all issues that we're very familiar with and can help find solutions to.
This is Sharon again with another question. If you have an employer that offers more than one insurance plan and you have your annual period where you're allowed to switch, can you make an inquiry as to whether or not it would be a covered benefit from one of the insurance plans that you don't yet have?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. We get that a lot. A lot, and people will call us and say, well, it's open enrollment time, and I have these three plans to choose from. Which one could I choose? We will help research for you. You know, we'll make phone calls to your human resources department. We'll try to get copies of the policy. A lot of times, until you're actually enrolled and in that plan, it's hard to get some of that information, but we can make the phone calls and do the reading and ask the questions where we can get a pretty good sense of how that's going to be covered. And, you know, really helping you look at the things like, well, you know, sometimes HMOs are cheaper than PPOs. However, you're restricted and you can't go out of network if you have an HMO. But if all your providers are in the network, then that might be okay for you, whereas, you know, someone might want to pay a little bit more out of their pocket and you know, have a PPO plan, but they have a lot more options. And, you know, we help educate you on what the differences are and the benefits are between one plan and another. So definitely, I mean, that's a really good question and what we a lot of what we do.
Right, and an awful lot of people do have to make a decision once a year about whether or not they're going to stay with their current insurance or should they switch over to something else. So we get, like, this huge influx of phone calls.
Right.
Asking that very same question at certain times of the year. Because it's basically everyone struggling with the same issues, regardless of whether they have Pompeii or Fabre or Cochet.
Right, and Kathleen brought up a good point earlier, too, is that sometimes you may have a separate, it's called a PBM, a pharmacy
mm-hmm.
benefit manager, where you may have, let's say you have, I keep using Blue Cross Blue Shield, but they're such a big carrier, and then you may have Express Scripts as your PBM. And sometimes these drugs are covered under the PBM, and sometimes there is no lifetime maximum
mm-hmm.
under the PBM,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes there's a much lower copay for that. It just, again, it's very individualistic, but when we talk to you and do that initial assessment, those are all the questions that we're going to be asking and all the things that we're going to be looking into.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I said to, you know, sometimes after 6 months to a year, people want to change to home care, and we help facilitate that process as well.
So,
yes?
Is there any benefit? Have you ever worked with the VA before?
Have we worked with the VA? Yes.
Is there any benefit there?
What do you mean, are there any benefits there?
The VA does have benefits. I don't know that we have any patients who are part of the VA system who are on Myozyme yet. But typically the VA is a self-contained kind of thing. You know, you go there for your care and they pay for everything. Whether or not the VA would provide Myozyme, that would involve some phone calls on our part, but we could certainly look into that for you.
Right.
Do you get all your care from the VA?
No. Amy knows all about my care. I'm at Iowa State University. But, I was just wondering if that might be an alternative to maybe help cover some of the costs that you have to pay out of your pocket or something.
Okay. Yeah. We get very persistent, or whatever the word might be, in terms of figuring out what options people have and what is the best option for them. So if they're, you know, if someone has insurance and then they have the VA as another option, we figure out obviously which is primary and which has to pay first. But then, you know, like coordination of benefits so that hopefully there would be a very, you know, high level of coverage. So whatever is not covered by the primary insurance, the secondary insurance would pick up.
Okay.
That's part of our job.
Thank you.
Yep.
What's the prior condition impact of moving from private insurance to Medicare?
You're Medicare eligible when you turn 65. So what was the question before that? What is the...
The transition from private insurance to Medicare.
To Medicare? Right. Well, you know, usually what we do is, as part of our case management process, you know, we do age queries, or, you know, if you're aware of it, you would call your case manager, and usually at least 6 months out. we work with you on that transition. Currently, you know, the enzyme, I think Kathleen mentioned this, it is covered by Medicare. It's covered under Part B as in boy, under incident to physician services. And as long as it's being administered in the outpatient hospital setting or the doctor's office, the treatment will be covered. Now, Medicare only covers 80% of, you know, and so you need a secondary or a supplement or Medigap plan to cover that other 20%. And we can work with you on that. You know, again, we know we're familiar with resources in your state. Let's say if you don't have a secondary plan, if you didn't have an employer group, you just have nothing except you're just going to have Medicare. You know, first you could see if you're Medicaid eligible, and then you'd be duly eligible, Medicare, Medicaid. Otherwise, we can help you locate a supplemental plan that would help cover the 20%.
Mm-hmm.
For example, AARP is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you join, I think it's, I don't know what it is now, it's $12 a year or something like that, and you can get insurance through them, a Medigap plan.
So if you're not 65, you're under 65, but you're on Medicare because of disability, which is the case for a lot of people, then you would also need, as Amy said, some sort of Medicare supplement to help with the 20% or a secondary from your employer or Medicaid or something like that. But assuming that you have that, whether it's Medicare and a secondary or supplement, usually the level of coverage is pretty significant. I mean, you'd have a deductible of, what's the annual deductible for Medicare? Like, it's a
little over $100.
Yeah, it's $100-something dollars. The deductible for Medicare is pretty reasonable. And then if you have a premium of any sort for a secondary insurance, whatever that cost is. And then the only really semi-downside for Medicare is they don't pay for a home infusion, and there's a long story associated with that. But if, you know, you can get infused at your doctor's office or an outpatient hospital, it should go pretty smoothly.
Great. So that sometimes would be sometimes the problems running into that are finding a facility that is going to buy and bill for that drug, you know, or especially like a private doctor's office. But, you know, again, that's what we're working collaboratively with our CSAs and our PCLs to, you know, be out there, try to find a physician in a hospital that will do that, and we're usually successful in doing that.
Two quick questions. You mentioned there was about 40 or 50 people being treated currently.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include the people in clinical trials?
Yeah, not all the clinical trials are over yet, but the clinical trials that have been over that ended this month, they are included in that number, yes.
Okay. Because I thought that number was a lot. Like, I thought it was closer to 100 in clinical trials.
So there are people who are still in clinical trials, and we're not counting them. These
okay.
are people who have transitioned out of clinical trials and now on commercial drug, and people who are not in clinical trials and just, you know, on drug now.
Also from the clinical trials, there are some that were still in the process of getting them through that transition,
mm-hmm.
working through the insurance coverage, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And part two, you mentioned home infusions. I know you said it's a long story, but could you give a short, can you give me a bridge version of that?
Bridge version. You want to do that, Amy, or what?
Oh, you can go.
All right. So, I don't know if you have any understanding of Medicare or not, but up until recently, when they started this Medicare Part D program, which is the pharmacy part of Medicare,
not Medicare, private insurance. Would that be covered under private insurance, or is that something? Is that an option? Basically,
home infusion.
Yes.
Could be covered under private insurance if your physician allows it, but your physician wants you to be on home care,
right.
Or if your health insurance offers that as a benefit. So those are two, variables.
No, I don't think I've ever had a case where someone has started naively on therapy in a home setting.
Unless you were part of a clinical trial, or even
right.
if you were part of a clinical trial, your physician would want to monitor you, make sure you didn't have any, you know, allergic reaction
right.
for a period of time before you would go on home care.
Yeah, it's usually 6 months to a year at least.
Yeah.
Okay.
But to tell you more about Medicare, so before they had this thing called Part D, there were no pharmacy benefits through Medicare. And so they're a group of drugs, and Myozyme would be one of them, but IV infusion therapy, where Medicare said, we will pay for this drug, for this IV infusion therapy, as long as it's what's called incident to a physician services, which means that you need a doctor to be there, and not that they're going to give you the IV, but to be present during the infusion. So therefore, you can't have it at home because you need to have a doctor there during the infusion. So that's true for IV infusion therapy across the board, not just Myozyme. So that's why they don't pay for it at home. Okay. See, these are the kind of things that are like a little weird and hard to understand, and then I don't know if we explain it well or not, but we explain, you know, what the rules are out there and how it works.
And sometimes, you know, private insurance companies will try to follow Medicare guidelines and say they're not going to cover home care. And, you know, we've been able to work through those situations at times because when you do a cost analysis, I mean, home care by and large is cheaper than going to an outpatient hospital setting and getting it there. But again, you know, we're talking about people who have been on treatment for a while and their physician is recommending it. So. Are there any other questions?
Yeah, Amy?
Yes?
I was told that, well, eight, 2 days ago, and I was told it's mainly because of the safety factor that they want, you know, being monitored. So I don't think that home infusion is going to be an option for me.
Wait, I'm sorry. You're going in and out. Can you repeat that?
Okay. Over at Ohio State the other day, they told me that they like you in a clinical setting because of the safety factor.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And that's by and large what we're seeing.
Yep.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure at this point, you know, I'm not ready to ask to get the infusion, to get the treatment. I kind of want to wait to see what the results of the late onset clinical trials are.
Okay.
Would it be beneficial to call you and start this process, or would it be better to wait until
definitely call
a little closer?
Yeah, I would say call because you know it would just be beneficial to meet your case manager to ask. I'm sure you have a lot of questions, but also you would have a link and someone who you know you could call, especially once the results were available, you know, that you could get easy access to. But also, you know, you may want to get a sense of what your benefits are so that you can plan and just kind of have an idea so that, you know, the only thing you may be waiting on are those results. And, you know, I would definitely say call, establish that relationship. And I mean, I know I would want to call, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And also, as we talked about earlier, let's say you are in a particular job now and then you change jobs in 6 months or your health insurance benefits change in 6 months, whatever. If you have a relationship with us now, in 6 months when you have to make a decision about something, we can help you with that. Even though you're not on treatment, you still may want to know, well, what if I choose this plan versus that plan, et cetera. So,
yeah. And I work with patients right now with other diseases or with Pompe that, you know, I work with them, but they're not on treatment for whatever reason. So, you know, we're definitely not here to try to get you to go on our enzyme at all. In fact, I mean, that's what's so unique and what I love so much about our company and our CEO's vision for starting it is we're really, again, you know, patient advocate. And we're going to advocate for you and what your physician wants and stand by that.
Okay, thank you.
Well, sure.
A question also along that same line. I wasn't aware there was an adult trial still underway. When will the results of that come back?
I don't know when the results will come back, but the trial is over. It's a two-year trial, so it's over in 2008. I don't know what month in 2008. So I don't know when the results will be out, but that's when the trial is over. Do Tracy or Amy, do you know, or Jamie?
I think that because the enrollment for the trial was ongoing, people,
mm-hmm.
started to enroll as early as September of last year,
uh-huh.
and the trial was completely enrolled in March of
uh-huh.
this year.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it will be some time before the results are available, but certainly, you know, our hope in completing the study is to have, you know, robust statistical support for the late onset population, and, you know, certainly that information would be shared with regulatory agencies. So the results, you know, sometimes the results will be published in a paper following a trial, and that usually takes some time as well, but the immediate results can be shared from the sponsor of the trial, which is Genzyme, you know, directly with, say, the FDA or the EMEA, you know, as needed.
Thank you.
Or the insurance companies.
Pardon me?
Or also the insurance companies.
Well, the information, I'm not completely sure of this, but I would think that typically we wouldn't be able to share information directly with insurance companies before we would, say, the regulatory authorities. You know, certainly as, you know, as papers are written about using Myozyme treatment with patient, you know, with specific patient populations, those articles can certainly be reprinted and shared with insurance companies as supplemental information. And it, maybe someone from the GTS team can expand, but we actually have an additional group of colleagues who specifically work with insurance companies to educate them. You know, Amy referred to it earlier that we're always doing ongoing education, but this particular group is out there right now working very, very hard with, you know, both state and, you know, interstate insurance plans explaining, you know, this is what Pompe's disease is, this is what Myozyme is, this is, you know, the information we have to support using this product. And so, you know, as we hear particular insurance groups who maybe aren't, you know, aren't sure about covering it, or as, you know, a patient may get denied, that's a, you know, that sort of indicates to us that we need to really target some education. And so we'll send a team of employees out there, you know, our medical directors and clinical team, et cetera, to educate them on the value of the treatment.
Yeah, they're actually called DMMs, Director of Managed Markets, and they are working on a much more global level with the insurance companies, but they are assigned, you know, all the major payers throughout the country, and they are meeting with the medical directors and the case managers at these insurance companies and going over not only Pompe disease and Myozyme. They were doing this pre-launch, you know, prior to the FDA approval, but also, you know, educating them on other products that may be on Genzyme's pipeline that are going to come out, you know, down the road. And, you know, they've been doing this on an ongoing basis. So, yes, I mean, you know, anytime new information comes out that gets FDA approved, you know, they will share that with the payers. You know, and right now, you know, the label, when the FDA approved this drug, it's not restricted to infantile onset, although it does, you know, say that the research that we're approving this on is based on the infantile population. So kind of leaves it open there, and why we're seeing it being covered.
So if an insurer said, you know, I don't, and, you know, there's, insurers have so many medical directors and so many people who are looking at all kinds of data about all kinds of things. So we haven't had this experience so far, but if we did have a payer who said, you know what, I don't think I want to approve this for a late onset patient because there's no data to support it, that's when there would be many conversations that go back and forth both between your physician and also the people within Genzyme who can support data to talk about, physicians within Genzyme who can talk about how to interpret the data and see what happens with that. But so far, as Amy said earlier, we have only had one person who has been denied, and everyone else has been approved.
Excuse me, when you said that there was a year trial for adults, were you including the one-year measurement period plus 1 year of POTS, or what was on your mind there?
Who, Jamie, did you say that, or who?
The 24-month period?
Yeah. Somebody said there was a two-year period for the adult trial, and I was just wondering what that was referring to, please.
Yes, so that it's referring to the late onset treatment study that began enrollment in September. So the commitment to the FDA is to follow these patients for 24 months, and that can be a combination of the, you know, the actual LOTS trial and then the open label extension study. So there will be, you know, kind of, if you think of it as there's, you know, a period of time where there's the placebo-controlled portion of the trial, and then an additional period of time where all patients would be on open-label Myozyme and then continue to be followed.
Okay. Is that open-label portion for sure? Is that all settled?
I don't have... Because there's no one from the clinical group on the call, so I don't have the specific details, you know, of the actual trial design. But, my understanding is that there is, you know, that there's a portion of the study that's placebo-controlled, which is what people are in now, and then at a certain point, patients will be observed in the open label, or patients will have the option to enroll in that.
Okay, thank you.
We can. That's something that we can provide more information on. I think.
Given the FDA approval in April, you would think that it would be all open label and no longer placebo.
So that speaks to the need for a controlled study design. So even though, and that is a question that has come up, you know, from other patients as well, but in order to demonstrate efficacy of the product, which is the part of the purpose of the study, there does need to be a control group. You know, with the infantile population, it was a unique situation where we were able to utilize natural history data because, you know, it was with such a small patient population and because of the critical nature of infantile onset, there was, you know, an agreement with the regulatory agencies to use natural history. And then with the design for the LOTS trial, that wasn't what was agreed to. It's a placebo-controlled trial. So if you put everyone on open label at this point, essentially you negate the validity of the study and you wouldn't be able to demonstrate that same efficacy as you would by being able to show the response rate for patients who are on treatment versus those who are not. So I know, you know, it's certainly a unique situation, I think, to find, you know, to be in that there, you know, it's rare, I think, that a treatment's commercially approved in the process of a trial like this, but nonetheless, you know, the patients involved are, you know, certainly demonstrating the commitment to, you know, showing the commitment to the trial.
There's about 10 minutes left, so I'm giving you the 10 minutes heads up.
Thank you.
Is there any more questions? I think you've done a really phenomenal job in explaining it, because I am just really bad at insurance myself.
Well, the insurance is like the most complicated thing, and the insurance companies don't make it very easy to work with them typically by... you know, their wording and documentation and things they send in the mail. It's extremely not user-friendly. So that's what we try to do is do an interpretation.
Okay, I have one last follow-up question. This is Alicia.
Hmm?
I have one last follow-up question, Alicia.
Okay.
So I'm currently enrolled in LOTS, and I started in the first week of November. So you are suggesting that I contact one of Genzyme's reps sometime this year, even though I will be on the medication for a full year thereafter, in regards to the LOTS program?
It would be a good idea,
okay.
As Amy said earlier, to establish a relationship with the case manager who covers your area, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And we can call your insurance company with your consent and verify your benefits, all of that stuff. And then when you go off the LOTS study, then you would, you know,
have all the T's dotted, your T's crossed and I's dotted now.
Yeah.
Okay, because our renewal comes up in January, so that way we can decide if we need to do a, HMO or stick with a POS.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And typically not, you know, it's not all the time, but we do some mailings from our group, GTS. So if you called us and you got on our mailing list, you know, and you wanted mail, you would get them.
Okay.
And I know there's, you know, just listening to some of the questions and Jamie talking about some of the study questions, especially the question really before yours, Alicia, but, you know, that 800 number, I mean, you can also call that and choose the prompts for medical information, and, you know, they can specifically answer some of the questions aside from GTS and what we're here to talk about tonight, just FYI to all of you.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if I need a supplement of insurance to help cover some of the expenses, too.
Right, you might. And the other thing that we do is have patient meetings. Now, maybe the AMDA has patient meetings, or there are other groups around the country that are having patient meetings. But we also try to coordinate patient meetings every now and again, depending on how many people live in a certain area, and have speakers and whatnot. So if you wanted to, you know, get on our mailing list or, you know, create a relationship with the case manager, we could let you know when there is some sort of meeting.
And that's my favorite part of the job, because I get to meet people face-to-face. You know, a phone is such a different relationship when you actually get to meet them. And it's just, it's good, too, because you get to be in a group, a room with other people who have your disease when you're normally not in that situation, because it's so rare, you know. So it's really beneficial, and, you know, it's, they're great. They really are.
Will will someone from Genzyme be at the IPA conference this November as well?
Yes, we are going to have several people, actually, and we're going to have two of the GTS case managers, not anyone that's on this call, because we like to kind of divvy up the opportunity to work with our patients. But there will be two GTS representatives. I'm going, and then certainly there's a list of people who want to be able to come to that.
Is that in Texas, Jamie?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But does everybody have the 800 number?
What, for the hotel?
No.
For
GTS.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
Will Tricia Sawyer be there?
She will not. She's actually, you know, she was involved with this project for some time, but she in earlier this year actually transitioned into a new role. So she's no longer working with the GTS group. She's working in the pharmacovigilance group here. But certainly, I'm sure if she were here, would send her regards to everyone. But so she's in a different role now.
Oh, I just had so much fun with her at our conference here in San Diego.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She got to meet my parents and my husband. And
that's nice.
We miss her.
Yeah, we miss her.
But she's still with Genzyme, which is great.
Okay, terrific.
Yeah. She's a great resource.
Yeah.
So as long as we have a couple more minutes, how many adults are there out of the 40 to 50 patients that have been approved for insurance?
I don't have those statistics off the top of my head.
I
don't know if you do, Tracy or Kathleen, have an idea.
I don't know my
specific caseload.
Yeah, I don't have them, but we do have them. I'm actually not in my office right now, but we have them in the office, and we could provide that to you.
Yeah.
I think one statement that I would say I would feel comfortable making is that, for the most part, you know, we're working a lot with the infantile patients and the patients transitioning from the commercial trials, as we said. But almost all of the patients, the new patients that we're working with, so the patients naive to treatment, are obviously their adult patients. So certainly, you know, there's for the most part, I mean, a lot of adult patients are currently in process with GTS. If not already on starting,
right, or very close to starting,
and
it varies. I mean, sometimes, you know, in a couple of cases, it's not insurance. You know, they needed to get a full evaluation by their physician and have some more testing done prior to starting enzyme. So, you know, it varies on why not everybody's on treatment right now, or you know, an example that came out in the audience was, you know, they're waiting for clinical data to come out, or each case is very unique, but it's not all reimbursement issues.
No. And we've had some people who think they have Pompe disease, but they don't actually have the actual diagnosis. They have another diagnosis, so that needs to be confirmed that they actually have Pompe disease before they can start treatment. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
5 minute warning, so it sounds like it's ended.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I know that I will be calling myself just to get some more information and to establish a relationship with you guys myself.
Wonderful.
Marcia.
Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you, everybody.
So when you call the 800 number, just say where you live, and they will transfer you to the appropriate person.
Great. Terrific. Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, Sharon.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.